All right, welcome back, everyone. We have 10 questions for Aubrey Gordon. All right.
Hi.
All right, Aubrey, what is the last best something you've experienced? Last best book, last best meal, last best hug, like last best.
Okay, I have two. Last best meal was, I make a lot of tofu at home. I grew up in a little crunchy granola family. And so tofu is very much a comfort food. And I finally got, for years and years and years, I was doing the thing of like, wrap it in a dish towel, weigh it down with plates, put some cans on top. Everyone's like, it's just as good as a tofu press. I am here to tell you it is not just as good as a tofu press. I got a tofu press, game changer, keeps coming out crispy and delicious and wonderful. So my last best meal, my last best meal was making an Ali Slagle recipe that is turmeric and sesame seed baked tofu with big wedges of charred baked onion. And oh my good God, it was delicious. And what a fun thing to have your last best meal be one that you made at home. Fun. And the other last best thing is just last night, actually, I watched a new documentary called An American Bombing that was a sort of retrospective on the Oklahoma City bombings, which were the largest, were and are the largest act of domestic terrorism on American soil. And it did a phenomenal job of contextualizing those bombings, not as a lone wolf or a, you know what I mean? Any of that kind of stuff, but contextualizing it as the natural culmination of decades of white nationalist organizing in the U.S. And just did, I think, a really phenomenal job of looking at that from multiple, multiple angles. It's a thing that happened when I was about 12. So I was sort of just...
Yeah, we're about the same age. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you may not... Like, I felt at the time like I was sort of ambiently aware that something big had happened and that adults were really afraid and shaken by what had happened, but I wasn't really comprehending what was happening. Frankly, nor should I have been at that point. But I thought it did a really phenomenal job of contextualizing that with Waco and Ruby Ridge and anti-government sentiment and Christian identity organizing, all of that, like tying together all of these different pieces, felt really, really helpful and good to me.
Yeah. What was the name of it again? For anyone who wants to
An American Bombing.
An American Bombing.
It
yeah.
is on, it's streaming on, not HBO, Max. A terrible name change. Max. Just some guy. Just some guy now.
Some guy. That sounds really interesting. And actually, I would normally never watch something like that because of the like, oh, it's just a guy with mental health and he's the victim. And it's like, they often miss the systemic context. So I'm so glad that this did
that. I mean, they definitely talked about his PTSD as a veteran for sure, which is like a real factor. And, as they were talking about it, I was like, oh, this could just as easily be a critique of underfunding of the VA, right? Where I'm like, yeah. All of it's systemic. Even the mental health stuff is systemic. Here we go. Anyway, I found it to be really fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you. Would you rather go on a wine tour in Tuscany or hiking in Machu Picchu?
I've settled in much more in my 30s and 40s too. I'm just not much of a drinker. Tuscany sounds beautiful. Machu Picchu sounds cool as hell. I feel like I'm going Machu Picchu. How about you? Are you Tuscany?
I want both.
Great.
I'm a both and. Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, if it was a risotto tour of Tuscany, I'm in.
I should change the question. Yeah, or
no,
like...
No, you don't have to change the question. I think more people would be motivated by wine. I'm just an outlier.
Well, and I've been to Tuscany, and they had all these really cool, like, it was bio something tours.
Biodynamic
Yes, I think. Oh no, that's the wine. Where you could go and like see like bees and like the way plants. So it wasn't just wine, although the wine tours were amazing. But yeah, biodiversity tours, something like that. Yeah, Tuscany is pretty magical. So maybe I would choose Machu Picchu because I've been to Tuscany. Yeah. Oh, I'm so fancy. What is a good piece of advice that you've received?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say, so right before I started writing full time, I got fired for the first time in my life. I got fired from a job and it really hit me where it hurts. You know what I mean? Like I really pride myself on being good at working, which is its whole own thing that I got to unpack. Capitalism, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know, it's a hard thing to have that so tied up in your identity and also so tied up in your politics. Woo! Before that, and when I was trying to figure out what to do next, before I sort of decided on taking this leap, part of what made me make that decision was I had a conversation with my brother who was like, look, your greatest fear is people not liking you. And I was like, well, I don't know about that. He's my big brother. I got to push back. And he went, I just want to see you do something where it's guaranteed that you won't be liked. And that is what led me to this. Guaranteed that you won't be liked, right?
What a brilliant reverse psychology move.
It really was smart on his part. And he was essentially like, you just got to break through this thing of like needing people to like you. Because you'll be able to do so much more on the other side of that. And he's right. He's right. I'm not all the way on the other side of it. I don't know who is like, I fully don't care if people like, I don't know who that person is. That's not me. That's not me. But I care a lot less. I mean, you know, there's like little cottage industries of people who are dedicated to not liking me. Right. So I'm like, I think it was really good advice for me to go directly to the heart of the thing I was afraid of. Was really, really helpful. Once you go to the, as a person with an anxious brain, what I find strictly for myself is that once you go to the worst case scenario, even if it's just intellectually, even if it's just in your mind, it's usually either something you can totally handle or kind of a good thing. You know what I mean? Sometimes the worst case scenario is kind of a good thing. I would have said getting fired was the worst possible thing I could have imagined. And it landed me here doing work that I care a great deal about. And that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't gotten shit canned, you know?
Yeah. And gotten that like invitation from your brother to like go to the thing that scared you. Yeah. Slight tangent. Have you ever done your Enneagram? Do you know what Enneagram number you are?
Oh, I did it at one point. I haven't done it in a long time and I do not remember what it was.
I'm so curious if you're a three because you kind of taught you sound like a three.
Do I sound like a three? I'll do it. It's like a quiz, right? Is that the basically? I'll do it later today. I'll let you know.
Okay, that's amazing. Yeah, because there is like the core motivation for a three. I'm a three. That's why I really resonate with what you're saying is like, this desire to be excellent, it's called like the achiever. So be excellent in what we do. But if it's not recognized, we don't like to do it. And so this whole like people not liking us is like well, then what is my value? Like what is my worthiness in this world? That's, yeah.
I did the assignment, but I didn't get a grade. What am I supposed to do now?
There's this very macabre, YouTube video where it's macabre. So like basically all the different types are trapped in coffins and have to escape. They're like live in coffins. And for the threes, they're like, hang on, is anyone watch me escape? No? Okay, I'm not going to bother. I was like, oh, fair. I get that. That's me. I'm like, yeah, no, I need someone to like see it in order for it to be valid.
That's amazing.
Oh my gosh. All right. What emoji do you use the most?
What emoji do I use them? Oh, I left my phone in the other room. Hang on, I'm pulling up my messages because I don't trust myself to remember.
Yeah. This is where I found out about Jeannie's like fingernail nail painting polish. One. Yeah.
Yeah. I have been using the face with eyes but no mouth the most, according to my...
Oh, eyes but no mouth. I don't even know if I know that one. What does it... You use it to connote what?
I use it usually when gossiping with friends. Like, I don't have anything to say about this. Not my problem.
I literally have no mouth.
Nothing to say. I'm not contributing, but you know, it's in the eyes. Yeah. How about you? What's your most used?
Oh, what do I use? What if I... It changes. I think lately I have been using the one that has like the spiral circle eyes.
Yes, and the squiggle mouth.
Yeah, and it's like the frustration or the I have another weather pressure headache, squiggle eyes, you know, squiggle mouth. Like, it's like that kind of one. Yeah.
That has been my go-to for anyone who texts me about the Trump trial. I'm just like, squiggle eyes, I'm out. I don't want to hear it.
I can't do it.
I don't want to hear it. There's nothing to report yet. I don't need to watch an interview with a dismissed juror. I'm good.
Yeah.
Oh, these emojis. I love it. If you could grant someone a wish, what would that wish be? And for whom would you grant it?
I would say it's less of a wish framework, but growing up, my mom used to do a thing where, like, once a month she'd buy a lottery ticket and she would write down the actual amount of the jackpot. And then she would write down, okay, we're going to pay off Sonia's student loans. We're going to pay off Chris's house. We're going to buy a house for Priscilla. That lady needs a house for her kids. They got to have a backyard. And she would just come up. It was like the biggest, like, you know, $100 million Santa Claus moment. And I think about that. I don't buy lottery tickets, but I think about what I would do with the jackpot all the damn time. Whose house would you build? All of that kind of stuff. I think the things that I think about the most are debt forgiveness and housing security.
So gifting that to people, yeah.
Absolutely. Especially for the people who are most underwater in my life and least likely to make it out.
I love that. I also just love, you know, Pam's. I'm going to say Pam because, you know, I think everyone knows Pam now. Like the way Pam it's like a manifestation list. Like, here's all the good that I'm going to do with this.
Look, she has been doing that uninterrupted for my entire life. And she always frames it as not if, but when I win the lottery.
Oh, she has to win at some point. She has to.
She is manifesting so hard and it is getting her nothing. But I love that her dream big version is just like, get everybody out of the hole that they're in. Get this person a new car. They drive all over the place. Like, that kind of thing. They need a new car. Blah, blah, blah. All of that sort of stuff. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love that. It's wonderful. It's very like fuck capitalism, which I really appreciate.
Truly. I will say there is a text-based game online. If you've not played it, I recommend it. It is called You Are Jeff Bezos.
I do never even heard of this. I'm going to look it up.
Oh my God. Your task in the game is you're Jeff Bezos for one day. Nobody knows that it's you. You can't convince anybody that you're not Jeff Bezos. All you can do is spend all of his money. So it gives you things like rebuild Puerto Rico. And it'll be like, you'll click on that and be like, yeah, let's do that one. Or house every unhoused person in the U.S. Permanently house them. Oh, neat. You use 3%. Of Jeff Bezos' money.
Oh, this game's going to just make me angry, Aubrey.
It makes you so angry, but it's also so fun to be like, to imagine that you alone have the power to make these massive changes. You're exactly right. It's a very frustrating game, but also very satisfying to be like, just fucking do it. The money exists. It's out there. Somebody just has to make the decision to spend it. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Okay. I'm totally going to play that after we hang up.
It's really something. You do that. I'll take my Enneagram.
All right. Perfect. Are you an early bird or a night owl?
I am an early bird. Not that early, like 6 or 7. I'm not a 5 a.m. No. I'm getting some good sleep, but I'm definitely like early to bed, early to rise.
Yeah.
How about you?
Same.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Although right now I'm in like weird like medical menopause because I'm taking some hormones to reduce my estrogen for my endometriosis. So like my sleep has gotten so messed up. So now I'm like up at 3 and then I'm trying so many different things to like be able to go back to sleep. So then by the time 6 o'clock comes around, I'm like, fuck it, whatever, I'm just up. So yeah, but I've always been more of an early bird. But now I go to bed really early now. I'm like 9 o'clock bedtime.
Yeah, totally. I'm like 10 p.m. in bed, tucked in. Let's go.
The best. Yeah. I love
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I love it so much. I will watch late night tomorrow.
Yeah. What's a dream job other than the one that you have right now?
Ooh.
All the things that you do.
This goes back to the lottery thing. One of mine has been for the super huge jackpots that you could pay off all the debt of everybody you know and still have so much money left. It used to drive me up the wall when I was in community organizing that no one would fund work in states like Louisiana or Montana or Wyoming that was sort of progressive because it was seen as being too big a reach. It'd be too hard. We all know those are red states. We all know you can't, you know, get a foot in the door, blah, blah, blah. And what they didn't calculate in that is that, like, listen, you spend $1 in Montana, that gets you as far as $50 in California. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like so much, it's so much more cost effective and you can make such a big difference with such a small investment. I have always had this dream about starting something called the Unwinnable States Fund, which is just like, what would it mean to just dump a ton of resources into trans communities in Nebraska who are fighting for healthcare coverage? What would it mean to dump a bunch of resources into immigrant communities in Texas who are fighting back against Greg Abbott and all of his nonsense, right? Like, what would it mean to like do that kind of work? That seems extremely exciting and fun and heady to me.
Okay, every VC listening.
Your massive VC listenership. Hey, philanthropy, listen up.
Yeah. Contact Aubrey. I know, right?
Which is also wild because, I mean, like, fundamentally, I do feel like philanthropy is, like, a pretty broken field that is the result of a pretty broken society that we need super rich people to decide to give away money to fix really basic social problems, right? Like, that shouldn't ultimately exist, but it's a thing that I think about a lot is just, like, man, if somebody just put a fraction of the money that they put into New York into wherever, into Wyoming, we would be living in a real different world.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's a brilliant idea. Is that the book you're writing?
Thank you so much.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Just keeping a list over here. I've got 7 more books.
That's right. I'm helping you map out your other career. What's your most played song or artist right now? I know you always post your song of the day. Do you have like a fave?
Yes. My current most listened to song. Oh, I have two. One is I've been listening to, there's a band from the 60s called We Five that has a song called You Were On My Mind that is just very simple. It builds beautifully. I really like it. That one's great. And the other one that I've been listening to, because the weather has started to turn here, it's going to be like 70 degrees today. Oh, what a treat. And when that happens, I just want to listen to upbeat music. And the thing that I've been listening to lately is a song from maybe 10 years ago from a band called Duck Sauce. And the song is called Barbra Streisand. And it's just a dance track that goes on for a long time. And every once in a while, the beat drops out and you just hear someone go, Barbra Streisand. And
then they I know this song. You totally yes.
It's great. I love that song. I love that song.
Oh my God, I totally forgotten
about
it.
It's very fun. It's so
fun.
When
we hang up, I've got to, you see, I've got boxes behind me. We're moving, so I have to like pack. So I'm like, I'm going to put that song on because now I absolutely have to. That's a good packing song.
Oh my God. Well, bookmark that. We got to talk about where you're moving.
Oh, okay.
And how all that's going. That's exciting.
Thank you.
I hope it's for good, to a place that you're excited about and for good reasons.
It is. Yeah, it was a little unexpected, but it's, you know what? Like, it's actually going to be fine. It's going to be really good for us.
You can find a place with a quieter attic.
I will have an office with the door that closes, a door that closes. I'm very excited. I can't even
As someone who is speaking to you from an office with a door that closes, I recommend it.
Right? It's a good...
What a joy.
What a perk to have. all right. What is... I know. What is one word that describes you and one that you wish described you?
Loud and less loud. I wish I were not. I wish I were better at, like, I wish I had loudness at my disposal, but it wasn't always my default setting.
Well, you know, Jeannie described, she said, I was like, what was it like to work with Aubrey? And she was like, she's like the quietest loud person. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's a neat way to describe it. Yeah.
Listen, I walk in to my dad's house and the first thing he does is reach in and turn down his hearings because they are calibrated to people who are not at my volume. Also, as a person who records audio for a living at this point, all I do all the time is apologize for blowing out the levels. It's just what's going to happen.
I really get it. I think that's one of the number one things that, you know, how in relationship you have these kind of like, not arguments, but like things that rub each other the wrong way kind of on repeat. This is one of them is like, I'm also kind of a big booming personality and my tone is not good at being modulated.
I'm a microphone optional person. You know,
I get
we
that.
Can get there without it.
Yeah. All right. Last question. If we were going to want a picnic together, what would you bring?
Oh, so hot on the heels of having traveled to the UK, where just about every restaurant includes a cheese board on its dessert menu.
I love a cheese board dessert.
Truly. It is so much more of a rarity here. Like, you can find them. They're out there. But it's not like everywhere you go all the time. So I would say a selection of cheeses, fruits, and bread. You know what I mean? Like, make yourself nuts. All the kinds of good things that go into a cheese board. I have a good friend who makes a killer cheese board. And on that cheese board puts something I would never have thought of. She always includes a good aged cheddar along with... really good gingery ginger snaps.
Oh, I would not have thought of ginger snaps. And like together?
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
It's so damn good. She swears by the triple ginger snaps at Trader Joe's if you're looking for a particular one. But yes, I would go all cheese board all the way.
I love it. Oh my God, my mouth's watering.
It's so good. All right, I'm going to go eat some cheese.
I was like, yeah, let's picnic. That's obviously something we have to do. Aubrey, thank you for doing the 10 questions.
Oh, thanks for having me. Always a joy.